This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Just was thinking, you know, it's our first day without a boss.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
unchecked aggression right now.
Yeah. It's great. Say whatever you want.
Didn't we kind of do that
you
already?
You already do.
Yeah, but keep going. More. Keep going.
I'm waiting till 6. That way we have a disclaimer.
Yeah, so Jeff, our boss, retired.
He's good.
Out. Yeah, it's about time. Old bag. So
he's
out.
By the way, old bag is a great term. That needs to be brought back more often.
It's one of those really insulting but still clean insults.
Listen here, you old bag. Zip it.
Is that better than boomer?
Yeah, the boomer thing. Instead of calling someone a boomer, just call them an old bag. Boomer. That's the lamest one ever. If I ever get hit with a boomer, I'm just like, that's the best you have?
Oh my God, he texted me. He's still listening. Stop listening. Go retire.
You old bag. Get a hobby.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Let me get you a bottle of Blanton. Start some drinking.
You're done. Oh, I guarantee he's drinking. I'm jealous, man. That guy's
living the life.
Yeah.
He's going to go retire in North Carolina somewhere. He's getting season tickets to the Durham Bowls.
Hell yeah.
Watch some minor league baseball. Developing a drinking problem. Let's go.
Well, anyway, we don't have a leader.
No.
Beginning today.
Yeah. Who leads us?
No,
we lead ourselves. Boy, that's problematic.
Yeah, it is.
I've stated many a time.
This is why they have bosses.
Yeah. I've said it many a times. I need boundaries. I can't be trusted on my own.
So we were talking about Nico Amagunaleva. Is that his name?
It's about right.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Iamaleava.
Yeah.
I believe.
Quarterback at Tennessee.
Former quarterback at Tennessee.
Yeah, so he's gone. Heupel, you know, I got to hand it to Heupel. He has some stones, and even though he's probably their best quarterback, otherwise he wouldn't be the starter.
He
drew a line in the sand. He said, "Nope, he said no one's bigger than the power T." Here's the audio.
Obviously, we're moving forward as a program without him. I said it to the guys today. There's no one that's bigger than the power T, and that includes me, and they hear me say that a lot inside of that team room. This program has been around for a long time with a lot of great coaches, a lot of great players that came before that laid the cornerstone pieces, the legacy, the tradition that is Tennessee football. It's going to be around a long time after I'm done and after they're gone. And that's what's special about being here is that there is a legacy and a tradition that is so rich.
Well, I will say this. Kudos to Tennessee. I think this is...
I don't think a lot of coaches would have done that.
I think it's the right thing to do.
Do you? I think some would. I don't think a lot.
I think a lot would be too scared to.
Yes, I agree.
This is a ballsy move because you went, what, 9-3? Or did you have 10 wins last year? Enough to get you into the playoff. You got drilled by Ohio State, but it's a freshman.
Playoffs?
You assume he's going to get better. If next year, if you fall on your face and you regress and your quarterback's terrible, people are going to look at you and be like, what the hell, man? It was $1.5 million. You couldn't come up with $1.5 million? But I do think eventually, in this world where right now we have no regulations, it's the wild, wild west, you have to have some form of structure. You have to say, we may not have outside rules, but we have interior rules. And I would hope, everything from Dan Lanning saying no to this, I hope in general this is the tipping point where schools collectively say, we're not doing this crap. Like, there is a line. And I said this a year ago. If I'm one of these big schools, I am out of the five-star quarterback business. Realize now, when you take Nico, I think it's 6 of the top 7 quarterbacks from his class have already transferred. So you're giving these kids millions of dollars to show up on your campus. They do not stick. They do not stay. And even the ones that are there aren't very good. I mean, it's the Malachi, you know, the Malachi Nelsons of the world at USC, Dante Moore. Like, even if they do work out, they don't work out for you. Stop giving these kids $2.5 to $3 million to come as freshmen. I'm out on that. And I would like to think that this is a turning point where teams in general say no. And I'll be interested to see what the market is. Of course, Nico's team is coming out and saying he's got offers from $4 million from all these schools. They won't say what it is. I want to see what the market is for this kid. He can't transfer in the SEC. The SEC has a rule where you can't transfer and be immediately eligible in the SEC. So it's got to be outside of that. And look, let's be honest. He's not that good. And this is the one caveat I'll have about Heupel. Yes, it was awesome that he said no. I also think it makes it plausible to do it when the kid isn't very good. What will be really the, do you have the balls to do it? Let's say Bo Nix, after his junior year at Oregon, who damn near won the Heisman Trophy, right? If Bo Nix comes to Oregon and is like, hey, you want me? It's costing $4 million. I need to see the team do that, because it's one thing to tell this kid no. If you watch Tennessee, dude, their passing offense was dreadful. And this kid in any meaningful game kicked rocks. Doesn't mean he can't get better, but this kid was not an elite quarterback. Far from it. So it's one thing to boot the starting quarterback. It's another thing to boot a Heisman Trophy type quarterback.
Well, Nico has been linked with 3 programs.
Mm-hmm.
And see, like, to me, I think that the good established programs and coaches,
yeah,
don't really need his crap.
Yeah.
And I think that's Heupel in Tennessee, and I think that's Lanning in Oregon.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the programs that are down or desperate,
sure,
that have to take more risks.
Can totally see that.
And so he has been linked to 3 schools, and they are all kind of in that category, yeah, of maybe need to take more risks. One is UCLA.
Sure.
Because he's from Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
2 is Tulane, and 3 is North Carolina.
By the way, I think all of those are perfect.
And with Nico, Bill Belichick.
I hope the money's worth it for you, man. Good luck at UCLA. Good luck at Tulane.
And semi-breaking news, North Carolina is now out.
Yeah, just, you know, because, look, and it's not even the fact for me that he wants more money. Look, there's no rules in place, so go get what you can get. There's no guarantee that you're going to be an NFL quarterback. In fact, right now, I'm betting against it. So get what you can when you can. But boy, you had a real good situation going in Tennessee. A really, really good situation. You probably could have gotten an extra $500,000 out of them, making $3 million, be there for a couple years. Your job is secure. You got great infrastructure around you, great quarterback, minded head coach, retire a Tennessee legend, never have to worry about anything. But you got so damn greedy. And the way you went about it and the way your dad went about it, you have stained your name, you have stained your reputation, and you didn't have to go about it this way. You could have maximized your value, but still kept your good name. And I think a lot of programs, as you said, are going to look at this and be like, dude, I'm not doing this. But you were in the college football playoff, and your dad is going to the head coach and saying, I need more money or my kid isn't going to play. I promise you that when Dan Lanning heard that, he's like, no, dude, that's not how we do things here. And I think there's a lot of coaches that you just eliminated yourself from. Why? Over some money when you already have, if you were just smart and you played it out, regardless of what happens in the NFL, you will have made somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $10 million at Tennessee, enough to retire and never have to play a day in the NFL. But you didn't. You and your dad decided to try to squeeze every drop, and you did it in a piss poor way. And everyone in the country now, by the way, is rooting against you. Everybody. You've become the villain. And for a kid that wasn't very good last year under pressure, cool. Have as much pressure as you want now to go win at UCLA or Tulane.
All right. It's time for our Stock Watch, where we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports. We'll do that next on The Fan.
It's primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, yes, you heard the open there. It's time for the Stock Watch, presented by Ryan Buckley.
Hello, what, friends.
Are you going to tell us something, Buckley?
No. I mean, I'm going to tell you some Stock Watch things, but we're going to start, of course, at Augusta National.
By the way, never forget, 1 week ago today.
That's right.
During this very segment.
That's right.
Ryan Buckley.
The Great One, they call me.
Did not know how many titles the Great One had won.
Zero,
Wayne,
in fact.
Wayne Gretzky.
Zero.
Thought he had never won. Never
yeah, didn't think it was 3-4. I thought it was a goose egg.
One of the, and by the way, it was 1-4, but just yeah. Saying.
Oh, no, no. I'm saying I wasn't mixing up like, oh, either had 2 or 3 or 4. I thought he had flat out 0.
Hey, never forget.
Never forget.
I'm going to wear that one. Just like Rory is wearing the green jackets, he talked about the pressure on finishing up the career Grand Slam. Here's what he had to say.
I've carried that burden since August 2014. It's been 11 years. It's nearly 11 years. I'm not just about winning my next major, but the career Grand Slam, you know, trying to join a group of 5 players to do it, you know, watching a lot of my peers get green jackets in the process. It's been difficult, and I've tried to approach this tournament with the most positive attitude each and every time that I've shown up. And I think just the sort of cumulative experience that I've gained coming back here each and every year, I feel like I get a little more comfortable with the shots needed. I talked about it at the start of the week. But, you know, there's talking about it and actually doing it. And, yeah, today was difficult. I was unbelievably nervous this morning, really nervous on the first hole, as you witnessed with the double. But, as I said, that sort of calmed me down. And, you know, I was able to bounce back and show, you know, that resilience that I've talked about a lot. And, it was a heavy weight to carry. And, you know, thankfully now I don't have to carry it and it frees me up. And, you know, I know I'm coming back here every year, which is lovely.
I know we talked earlier about how maybe we didn't quite realize just how much he wanted this and just how much it weighs on him and really just how hard this is to do. Buy or sell that any of Rory's contemporaries, basically anyone playing pro golf right now, will also go on to win a career Grand Slam.
Ooh, oh, that's good. Well, I'm gonna say no, simply because it's been 50 years
and
no one's done it. And the last one we saw do it was Tiger Woods. And we know that this field is deeper and harder than ever to win. So even when you play your bet, Justin Rose has now played good enough to win 2 Masters, and he's been nicked in both of them, you know, by no fault of his own. The guy's played amazing. So to say that someone is going to do something that we haven't seen in 50 years, and more than likely Rory shouldn't have won that tournament. I mean, he tried to give it away at least 7 times. I will say no. And you said there's only one, which is Spieth, that only needs one.
Well, Phil.
Well, Phil, but, you know, at this point, dude, Phil's not winning the U.S. Open. He had his limelight when he won the PGA a couple years ago. So And Speed doesn't appear anywhere near winning anything. So I'm just saying from historical context, this is like saying if you give me one player versus the field, I'll take the field every time. And no, we're not seeing this again. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, I'll sell that. I mean, Tiger was... Like, I still
He's
think
the greatest
about,
ever do it.
I still think about watching him play and just...
Yeah.
It's just jaw-dropping. He made every putt he ever needed to make, ever. Yeah. Ever. Never missed a putt. Did you know that?
Ever. Forever.
Seriously, if he needed a putt, that way, he would make... He reset the bar to heights that we just can't even fathom. And that's why we were talking about earlier in the show, it's really hard when you compare guys like Rory to Tiger because he's just not Tiger. No one is Tiger.
No.
The only other player that I've seen, like, it just since I've been watching golf, that even comes, that has game enough to win a career Grand Slam is McIlroy. I mean, he has that type of game. Tiger's a once in a generational player. Rory's talent, you don't see a lot of guys that good. As good as Scheffler is, I think Rory's best is better than Scheffler. He can just do things with the golf ball that Scottie Scheffler can't do. And I don't see that other guy out there. He'll probably come along eventually, but no, it's really, really, really hard to do. And not even Arnie could do it.
No.
Not even Tom Watson could do it.
Nope.
The only guys that have done it are the all-time greats. So I'm going to sell it.
Fair enough. Now, another topic that came up that we haven't kicked around yet, and I know that this has been the policy there for a very long time, but everyone's pointing out in all these photos of Rory and the moments in the grandstand and around the 18th green, the lack of cell phones. Rory was asked about that and the crowd over the week.
The patrons, again, it's such a unique event. The no phone policy just makes everyone so present and so into what we're doing out there on the golf course, and it's just an absolute pleasure to play in an atmosphere like the one we played in today. So to everyone that stuck around, thank you so much.
Buy or sell that more sporting events and more public events like concerts or shows should also go to no cell phone policies?
Yes, it'll never happen, but comedy shows do it. Comedy shows, a lot of them make
I've been
you,
to some that do that. I like it,
but yeah, it's not. Look, it's here, it's part of our society. I was just having a conversation the other day. I was eating dinner with my buddy that does he's a tour manager for a giant band and has worked with every artist in the game. And we were talking about this, that it's a little rough, like if for a musician, even when you're in like this unbelievable moment where it's the Grammys or you're performing at a big concert or whatever. And sometimes it's tough when you look out at the crowd and all you see is cell phones staring at you. And it's like, and I know some artists have come out and told people. In fact, when we went and saw Green Day at Providence last year, Billy Joe, the lead singer, was like, can we just put our phones down? They actually started doing something where at the end of the Green Day show, you can take a scan of a QR code on the big screen, and they will send you all of the professional photos and videos from the show. So he's like, please, I'm begging you, just put your phone away and for 2 hours, be here with us. And it doesn't work. But I do think it's one of the things that makes the Masters cool is, yes, I think it's like when you go and see, you can be at a beautiful national park and you're like this amazing sunset, or, you know, when you're down at Lake Tahoe and it's setting down over the water and you're like, dude, this is God's masterpiece. And all anyone's doing is taking selfies of it. I wish more things could be like the Masters. And I do think it's one of those rare things, but you can't put it back in the box. It's out.
I would buy that as well. I would love to see that, but it's not going to happen.
No.
And it makes the Masters quite unique. You know, they showed, I don't know if you guys saw it because it was pretty brief, but they showed the magic of no phones at the Masters on the broadcast yesterday because think about it. Not one person has a phone. And really, you cannot, like, you think, oh, people slip them in. No, they don't, dude. They catch
you. No, you go through metal detectors, and you have to leave it before the metal detector.
Yes, so there is no one with a phone. And now, we were talking about this last year, but Apple Watches, I don't know if they take
updates.
Those two or if they're getting updated. Surely somebody out there knows what's up. But for the most part, all the patrons, everyone around you, no one knows what's happening on other parts of the course. You just have to look at the random manual scoreboards, right? Uh-huh. So after the huge roar on 15, where Rory hits it to like 5 feet, right? Imagine the roar when you're sitting on 18 watching guys come through. You can't see down to 15. So you're sitting there and you're looking, all you have is the scoreboard. You don't have a phone. You have no idea what happened. You're looking around, talking to people, going, do you think Rory did something big? What do you think happened? And all, and they showed it when Rory made the birdie. Because they manually, there's a guy behind the scoreboard and he takes it just like Wrigley Field. And
it comes up immediately.
Or Fenway Park. Yeah. And they showed everyone sitting at 18, waiting to find out what just happened down on 15. And they put, he puts up the 11, Rory's birdie, right? And that play up on 18 now, they go ape bleep.
Yep.
Because they only just learned what had happened. That is the coolest thing about not having phones at Augusta National. It's really fun.
The reaction on when they showed it, like you said, it was such a cool reaction that everyone.
So you saw that
I
part?
I saw it, yeah. And it's cool how they do it because they put it, simultaneously, they put up his the score on the hole and then the overall.
Yeah.
And it went to 11, and everyone just, ah! And then they showed when. Was they showed when Rose took the lead and no one reacted.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, they wanted Rory. And so collectively as a group to find that out in real time as opposed to the phone thing, I'm with
you.
Super cool. That's a really, really cool moment.
And the other thing about that tournament that's that and no phones that makes it pretty fun is when you hear stuff from the other side of the course.
You don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is. You don't know who's making that.
What's happening?
But the loudest roars always come for the best player.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, I don't know what you guys thought before we move on here. Do you think that, because the talk was always that DeChambeau is super popular. Yeah. Everybody wanted DeChambeau. He's the new Phil. I don't know, man.
It
seemed to me that everybody wanted Rory there, not DeChambeau.
No. And the crowd was decidedly not in DeChambeau's corner.
I think it was the online crowd saying online that the that people wanted it, but it was really just the online people who wanted it. But I think the traditional older golf heads wanted Rory.
No, in person, that was Rory all the way.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our fair city of Portland, where the Trailblazers have decided to extend one Chauncey Billups to be their head coach. Here's what Chaunce had to say about his vision for the team.
Yeah, well, obviously that changed very quickly after I got the job. But one thing about me, I'm all in. So I'm all in to do the best job that I could from the very beginning. And even though it did change very quickly after, you know, I had to really look myself in the mirror, too, you know, and understand how much development I personally needed, too. So it probably was good that it changed so we can kind of grow together, you know. I mean, I took this job. I had 1 year of experience. I wasn't, like, nowhere near where I needed to be, you know, to take a team over the top. So everything happens for a reason. Everything happens how it's supposed to. I've always believed that. So the way that this thing has gone, like, we've just kind of grown together. I've learned with the team. I've learned all the things that I needed to learn. And I still also know that I got so much growth in me, too, you know. So talk about potential. I look at myself first, not just my players. I think I have incredible potential as a coach and so many levels to get to as well. So that's one of the beautiful things about us kind of doing this thing together. And I talk about this a lot with my guys because I never want them to see me as like superior or this or that. No, we really are growing up together in this process. And I think it's actually pretty neat.
Buy or sell Chauncey and the Blazers' future with him at the helm. Pretty neat.
Chaunce. Pretty neat.
Is neat the ceiling?
What?
Well, he said neat. That's what he just said. Is pretty neat.
Look, this is a more nuanced conversation that we need to have later. This is what I'll say. I understand why they did it. Would have made more sense to do it at the same time with the GM. I think the Chauncey thing was a little more uncertain. I am very concerned that you're taking an 11-game run and what happened in the back half against largely backups and garbage competition. And all this talk of wins, cool. You didn't even make a crappy-ass play-in. I'm just very, very concerned. While I understand the optimism and the 14-game improvement, I am very, very concerned. And Jason Quick had a really good piece on this in The Athletic, that you are celebrating mediocrity and that you may be going down the road. And there's a couple clips that we'll play later that scare the living daylights out of me. that not only you embracing mediocrity, and while you haven't trapped yourself into mediocrity yet, it feels like that is the more likely path than some sort of ascension to contender. So pretty neat. I don't know what that means. I guess I'll take some optimism, but deep down inside, if you had to say, as a casual observer, but if I'm a fan, is my casual optimism greater than my fear? No, my fear is much, much higher. So I will sell that the future is pretty neat.
Was that what it was? The future of the Blazers is pretty neat?
Or that they have a chance to do something here. Growing together could be pretty neat or something.
No. Hard sell.
Yeah, you're less optimistic than I am, and you have no optimism. I have...
They're not. I don't know why they have optimism. Like we'll talk about we'll talk this about later. It. But I guess you just have to kind of sell optimism. That's kind of your job.
Yeah. What else you do?
But dude,
I said it's more of a nuanced conversation.
What am I missing about?
Well, let's get to that group later. Let me give you one more here and wrap up the Tennessee Heupel Nico Lanning discussion. This is Josh Pate on the Lanning situation.
I think either Lanning or someone associated with Oregon sort of sent up the flare here. And if that's true, and I don't know that it is, but if it is true, I appreciate it. And if it is true, it reflects a lot of the sentiment I've gotten from being out on the road all spring. I hadn't gone to Oregon this spring, but I've gone to over a dozen major programs this spring. And that has sort of been the sentiment from a lot of staffers, specifically head coaches, of looking around and saying, you know, yeah, we want to compete, and yeah, we may hate these dudes on the field of play, but it is past time to work together to regulate this ourselves if no one else is going to step in.
Buy or sell that if the reports or rumors are true that Dan Lanning is doing a public service by being the whistleblower on Nico and his dad.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm all for... Dude, get what you can get when you can get it. But holding your team hostage before you're playing in the college football playoff, and now we're holding out after a very mediocre year, and you're actively shopping your services around to other contenders while you're in spring practice, look, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it, and no one outside of Nico's dad thinks this was the right way. I think he's become a pariah. I don't think he's going to have a major marketplace out there for him. And I think for a few extra bucks, he's really, really hurt himself. And yes, I think that Dan Lanning, I think a lot of coaches would have done this to say enough's enough. Because if it's happening with your guy or happening to someone else, it can happen to you. And there's just a line that eventually it was going to get drawn. And I think for a lot of people, this is the line. So if Dan Lanning did this, then yes, my hat's off to him.
Public service, huh?
Yeah. The public service being a whistleblower on a recruit shopping himself while on a deal with another team.
I mean, listen. Is it more self-serving than public service?
It's probably a little both.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because for coaches, it's in their best interest to keep kids like this. I don't want to say keep them down, but just...
In check?
Keep them, together, keep them in check. So there's probably a little self-interest there. But, yeah, I could buy that it's a public service in this instance.
Maybe a little both.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I just feel like guys like Nico, I mean, we're going to make this into this whole thing of like, oh, these kids now and all this. It's one case. Yep. And I'm sure there are others that are like him. But it's not the vast majority of players.
No. We saw this NIL. With the UNLV quarterback. He just wasn't a big enough deal for it to really rock the boat. But
and as somebody pointed out on the text line, like, let's wait till Jeremiah Smith does this. Or let's wait till, like, another massive name does this and then maybe have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But it's not a good sign.
Is that all you got?
That's right.
Okay. Goldberg Jones, when it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the News is coming up next. On the Fan, here's Buck.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty neat.
Great, great tones.
It's actually pretty neat.
Yeah.
Right now it is April 14, 2025. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mike. Please be seated. As always, it's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Dolphin Day.
Oh, go Dolphins. Although, don't pet them. They'll sexually assault you.
I have pet a dolphin before.
Did it hump you?
It did not, but I will say...
You wanted it to?
Mm. No.
They warn you. They say don't start something that you can't finish.
They are muscly.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's when you touch one, it does not feel like what you think.
It's a leather muscle tube.
Yeah.
It's just,
it's amazing.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of videos out there. The dolphin is the sexual predator of the ocean.
Yeah.
They get after it. Yeah, they get after it.
Tell you what, it's kind of hot.
There's a lot of videos out there of like people petting them in those encounters. And then if you pet it on the belly, the dolphin's like, all right, we're doing this. And then it jumps up on you. And then, you know, hey, it's go time. You were asking for it.
He is an idiot.
Well, they have nice bodies.
Very sinewy.
It is also National Pecan Day.
I love a good pecan.
The kayaker that went over Willamette Falls that is missing.
Yeah.
Still hunting.
Yeah, the search is... They're
still hunting.
Yeah, but I thought they were...
Oregon City.
They're now saying it's a recovery search. They're not, you know.
Well, you never know, man.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe they're just out there swimming around like a dolphin.
No, that's... They announced that it's turned into a recovery effort, and they're slowing down the looking.
7:15 a.m. on Sunday, the U.S. Coast Guard located the missing kayaker's blue hard-shelled kayak, which was then recovered by the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office Marine Unit. Despite extensive efforts, the man has yet to be found. His identity is being withheld. awaiting further developments.
Yeah, again, I just doubt he's coming bounding out of the scraggly woods anytime soon.
I always hate these because I'm like, do I know them?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I told you, man. When remember someone died in a avalanche down in Bend a while back that we reported on?
Yeah.
My bartender, my guy Nicholas at my local bar that I go to, he was listening to us. That was his family. That's how he found out. And no one should find out tragic news coming from us two. That's not how you want to find out.
Why not?
Family, friends have gone.
Why not?
Well, we don't always handle things.
What's the best way to find out?
Not us, because we don't always handle these things with the utmost, you know.
Well, I try to be sensitive to.
I know, and sometimes we fall short. I felt terrible. I was like, oh man, you found out us? Like via us? It's not good.
Well,
man, look, you got to hear it from someone.
We're a news outlet. That's right. You got to hear it from somebody.
Got to hear from somebody.
Probably better to get a phone call.
Yeah. Other than, but, you know, you tune into us to hear God knows whatever we're talking about. And then you're like, wait, I know. Oh.
Katy Perry and Gayle King landed safely today after the first all-female space flight since 1963.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I saw a video in this and I was not prepared. I didn't have that on my bingo card.
Did you see the Katy Perry quotes about all the things that it meant and symbolized and all that it connected her to? My goodness, that was a whole thing.
I didn't, but I do feel like, well, one, anybody that's ever gone to space says it's kind of a religious experience.
But wasn't this like
it's like 11 minutes.
It was like low orbit. It wasn't.
But it's the same one that Will Shatner went on.
Yeah.
And I feel like what's happened is Shatner went on this, and he came down, and in classic Shatner form, he articulated so well what it was like.
Yeah.
Because he's a wordsmith.
Yeah.
And I feel like anybody doing that after him, they feel like they have to try to articulate it as well as Shatner, and that's just you're going to lose.
Yeah. Can I read you what Katy Perry said?
Yeah, go for it.
She says that the short trip to space made her, quote, connected to the strong divine feminine, and she praised her team's, quote, rigorous training. She also said, quote, you're really finding love for yourself there because you got to trust in yourself on this journey, and then you're feeling love when you come down for sure, and you're feeling that strength.
Don't you just get into the penis rocket and then get launched?
Like, yeah, that's what I thought.
No offense, but you didn't pedal your way. It's like, come on.
But you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I think she's just trying to
moved?
She's trying to be she's trying to do her own version of the Will Shatner, and it's just not working.
Now, again, check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but this is like when the Red Bull dude jumps from space, you're like in suborbit. You don't get you're not up there like seeing what the International Space Station's seeing, right? Like
I don't think so.
I think you're technically in space, but it's not like,
I think you lose gravity and you probably see the curvature of the Earth, but I don't think it's like space station height, no. I wouldn't think.
Hey, she got connected to what? All femininity? What did
The divine feminine.
The divine feminine. By being in the penis rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, ironic, isn't it?
I don't know. All I saw was Gayle King get out of it and was doing like this, like, she's doing like Richard Simmons. She's like, I'm 50 and I stretch and kick. And
Oprah was crying because she was worried about Gayle up there. This whole thing.
Oh, which, again, it takes some balls to get in the penis rocket.
It does.
And fire up there. I mean, that thing can blow up at any moment.
I'd be scared.
I would be too. But at the same time, let's not act like you did anything other than pay money to strap yourself into the penis rocket.
We want the nutty!
Yeah. That's like if I paid to sit on the back of, like, I don't know, like the Evel Knievel's rocket cycle while some daredevil jumped the canyon, and then we landed, and I'm like, you know what? Took a lot of bravery. No, I just paid money and let some other one else do the work. Literally, you just sat in a seat and let the penis rocket do all the work, which is cool that you got the money to do it, but can we not act like, you know, I don't know, like this was some sort of, like, girl power, like your vaginas didn't power the penis rocket to space.
And that's cool. That's cool.
Let's tone it down a notch.
Well.
Just like when the all-male crew's in there, their penises didn't power the penis rocket. That's not the way that works.
It was a glorious day.
It was glorious.
Oregon may be adding this to its official state symbols. Next on The Fan. This is in the news, April 14, 2025. Your noted newsman here. Oregon, known for its state bird, nut, and beverage, may soon add this as its state, as one of its state symbols. Hmm.
And that is, so we got the nut, the bird, and the what?
Well, okay, so we have a state tree, which, as you know, is the Douglas fir.
Yeah.
The state flower being the Oregon grape.
Mm-hmm.
And square dancing is our state dance.
Why on the flag, then, do we just have the beeve? Yeah, flags!
I don't know.
Right?
Oregon state fruit is the pear. Did you know that?
I didn't know we had the pear.
I didn't either.
Because on the front, we got the state seal, which... I think
the
it's
a pear?
Yeah.
We have a lot of pears here?
Yeah. Yes?
That,
no?
That surprised me. I would think we'd be like the blackberry or the marionberry or something.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had an Oregon pear. I do like a pear, but...
Sure. I just didn't know they were abundant.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of cattle here.
Mm-hmm.
They're a big deal in Oregon.
Yeah.
Not as big as in other states, but, you know.
Yeah.
Still.
I love cows.
Well, that's on the state seal. I do know that. The state seal's got, like, the Oregon Trail, like the you're dying of dysentery, and they got the little wagon. And
yeah, and so because of that, they wanted to draw attention to that and give recognition to that. So they are adding the T-bone steak as Oregon's state steak.
What?
What?
That's right. That's right, guys.
Why?
Oregon now has a state steak, and it is the T-bone.
T-bone! Hey, T-bone!
So this guy...
Can I also say the T-bone, like...
Very mid.
Yeah, like, what are we doing?
This guy's name is Todd Nash. He is a state senator.
He loves the T-bone,
and he explained the choice, saying, originally I wanted to make it a ribeye, but ribeye had already been taken by Oklahoma, and then when we looked into it and really thought about it, the T-bone made a lot of sense because it's actually two steaks.
Can I?
What?
I'm confused. So, because Oklahoma has the ribeye week.
So, we found he found a steak that he can hybridize or double up as two steaks, and he's like, this is our state steak.
Well, but we can't be the only state that has the T-bone, right?
There aren't 50 different cuts of steak, I don't think.
He says
it kind of represents our state where you have the New York strip on one side and you have filet mignon on the other. And you can really respect both or high quality cuts of meat.
Huh.
And we can agree on one or the other, but if you combine it into a T-bone, it's something that can be shared by everybody and agreed on by everybody.
But so, how does that represent Oregon?
So the filet is Portland.
I think he's talking about the smaller piece, and
that's the liberal snowflakes.
Mm.
And then the New York on the other side is country.
I think that's what he's saying.
Gymnastics.
Yeah, it really is. It's quite a stretch. As a matter of fact, it's a leap.
Are we putting that on the flag now? Like,
I don't know. We now have a state steak, guys.
Hmm. So we, all right.
So they asked him about the best seasoning for a steak because, you know, he's a steak expert.
Sure. With his T-bone, even though no one goes to a steakhouse and orders a T-bone.
He said salt and pepper.
He's one of those guys, huh?
Well, you're missing garlic. You need garlic, salt, pepper on that steak.
This would be a controversial decision. I like a nice Cajun crust. Sear the crap out of that and give me that char on top with a little Cajun seasoning. Now we're talking. And then, of course, some cowboy or some garlic butter on it. Like, let's go here. Let's pick it up a notch.
And that is in the news for April 14.
All the steak news that you didn't know that you needed and not sure that you did.
Well, I mean, where else are you going to know that factoid right there?
We informed a lot of people now that the T-bone is the official steak of our steak.
There's a missing kayaker, but more importantly, T-bone steak is now the... Oregon State steak.
It is a fun steak to order. T-bone! What are you eating? T-bone!
In the news, April 14, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 is next on The Fan.